Welcome to the Unapologetic Vixen Podcast, Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. I'm Natasha, a licensed sex therapist and certified sex and intimacy coach, on a mission to empower Black women to choose a life of pleasure, not just today, but every day. There is nothing more powerful than a Black woman that authentically owns her pleasure and sensuality. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the gems. On the Unapologetic Vixen Podcast, Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, I absolutely love you, Marla. I fangirled about you before I met you, and you are just as amazing as a support system as being a Jermitz. Share with the audience who you are and what magnificent things you do.
Absolutely. So my name is Marla. I am a sexologist and sexual strategist for my own company, Velvet Lips, which is a sexuality educational company that helps people with their sex lives, their intimate lives, their relationships through workshops, classes, and coaching. And I'm also one of the co-founders of the Sex Down South Conference. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of other things too. I teach at Clayton State University, which is about 20 minutes south of downtown Atlanta. And then I also, you know, I sit on a couple of boards. I sit on the board of the Sex Workers Liberation Project, as well as I'm soon to be leaving the board of Spark Reproductive Justice now. So I've had my reign there as board chair for quite a while. So it's time for me to go, but I'm ecstatic. But that's just maybe just a few of the things that I have done in my time.
Yes. And I have had the pleasure of being a part of Sex Down South for a few years. The first year that I went, I think was in 2019, and I volunteered, so I didn't get to see a lot of the webinars because I was working.
And then you put you to work, I'm sure, real good.
Very much so, but I enjoyed it. I met, you know, amazing people, and then the other 2 years was virtual, so I know we're being back in. You were in person last year too, right?
Yeah, we did a hybrid, so we did in person, and then we did online, and we'll be doing that again this year.
Okay. One of the things that stood out to me and one of the reasons I wanted to chat with you is the dungeon aspect and the impact play that you incorporate within that. Can you talk a little bit about impact play and its importance, especially in the Black community?
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to, you know, kink, BDSM, and the Black community, I think, you know, for quite a long time, it was sort of hailed as, you know, white people shit, right? It's sort of this thing that where people were kind of like, you know, I'm not really sure if I can get into that. What, beating someone?
Right.
We went through slavery. Why would we even think about hurting or beating or tapping into any of that? But what has really helped over time is just the myriad of media resources that have developed over time and that really display not only kink and BDSM and maybe its healing nature, but also kink and BDSM in Black communities, right? So thinking about somebody like Candy Burris, who has a huge right following, and her, not only her embracing and having her, you know, sexual product line, but also her with the dungeon, her dungeon tour, right? So really trying to normalize kink and BDSM. Now, we can, you know, when we think about, I do a class or a lecture on the future of Black kink, and I talk about the history of Black BDSM, which has been happening for quite a long time now. We know there's evidence of Black BDSM from the 1930s and on, right? And so then we got into sort of the 70s and 80s, where we started to see it more popularized with like Holly Berry, Janet Jackson, and then even more so, you know, more Janet Jackson or Rihanna, you know, in her S&M song. And so then when we had Candy Burris kind of come out with this dungeon tour, we were kind of a little bit already kind of acclimated around kink and BDSM, especially as it pertains to Black women. And then having that Having her come out with the dungeon tour, I think really sort of gave Black people a little bit more permission to say yes to kink and BDSM, that this was sexy, that this was useful in their sexual lives, as well as a way to embrace a different kind of erotic power that normally was normally considered taboo. Mm-hmm. So I think now we've kind of stepped into an era where we have more permission. We've seen ourselves as Black people, as kinky selves, in shows like Bonding, right? Mm-hmm. On mm-hmm. Netflix, or you know, on various other media resources, or even in social media, right? Mm-hmm. So you know, at SDS, I think it's at Sex Down South, it's really amazing just to see all of the Blackness that right. can be in a dungeon, right? Which is yeah. not something a whole lot of people get to experience, because they might either be in a small town mm-hmm. or might not be in a place that has a vibrant Black kink community. And so we feel very fortunate to have people be exposed to that community and really see, like, hey, this is amazing, and you can do wonderful things, and your sex life could be awesome just by maybe implementing some spanking or a blindfold mm-hmm. Or maybe even a slap in the face, you mm-hmm. know? So mm-hmm. Even some of those things that feel like, ooh, you know, you clutch your pearls kind of
thing. Right, absolutely.
It's sort of like, oh, like it gives you a different feeling. And that's also something else to be aware of as we sit in our own bodies and how it feels. So I know for you, right, you felt some type of way about being in this space. So
being a kink aware, I made sure that I went through the proper channels to get training to be kink aware, but it's very different having conversations with clients opposed to experiencing it yourself. And so the episode before this one, I shared an experience of going to a kink gala at the Dungeon, one of the bigger dungeons here in Atlanta, and watching the Impact play, and really being in my head and feeling uncomfortable. But it wasn't an uncomfortable of, oh my God, why would someone want to do that? It was more so of a, oh my God, do I trust enough to allow someone to do that? Because I saw the process, like he would whisper in their ear and you could see the release. And I'm assuming he was saying, I got you, release, take deep breaths. Then to watch him, you know, do the Impact play. And the woman that I was watching, she didn't want to scream. She didn't want to yell out. So, you know, his accomplice that came was telling her, it's fine. You don't have to pay attention to these people in the room. Release, you're safe. And finally, little by little, she started actually screaming out every time he connected. And in my mind, on the ride home, I sat with it and I got really emotional, because I was like, I am in a place in my life where I'm trying to figure out what it means to trust and release, just like in all areas of my life, which is very common in the Black women that I work with. But I don't think I was in that place in that moment to be okay with it, to actually not try to man up and be like, I can take it like what I do with life. Just, I'm going to take it and I'm not going to cry and I'm going to suck it up, or I'll give myself 24 to 48 hours and then we got to get this shit together, like get it together and move on. So the release of it, can you speak to what it means to release and trust in that type of capability? Because me, I'm used to being beat and when I was doing something wrong and it was nothing cathartic about it.
Yes. Well, I think that's part of the power exchange, right? So Black women for so long, we have had the history of being the matriarch, right? Of mm-hmm. holding the family together, of being the kin keepers, of being strong and making sure that everybody can rely on us.
Right.
And so when we oftentimes we feel, I want to say almost even a little guilty mm-hmm. when we have to go to someone else and be like, I need help, mm-hmm. you know? And so we suffer in silence, and the ability to not have that vulnerability, or the not the ability, but the when we shut down that place, because we have to be the backbone, we have to be strong, we have to be resilient, we don't get access to those feelings. So all those feelings that you were having, you were like, oh my gosh, like I'm actually feeling all of this, right? And we don't get to do that very often. So I think that's important, right? It's sort of one of those things where people are like, you know, we get shut down on to cry, right? Like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. But then we're like, wait a minute, crying is okay. Crying helps us to release. Crying helps us. It's we're vulnerable in the space. Oh, I know. I've seen my wife cry 3 times and barely. And I mean, not cry, but like a tear. You know what I mean? And so it's one of those things where you're like, okay, I hate crying, or I hate this level of vulnerability. But the fact is, when we release that, when we let go, when we can trust that person, that's earth shattering. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because then it allows you to not only open up in a way to show yourself you can open up, but you open and allow access to that person to understand those feelings and to really empathize with you. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I just don't think we give people that option.
Right.
So yeah, I really do think that the vulnerability aspect is so important. And in kink in particular, when we feel safe and secure, which number one, that's the place we want to be in sexually, because when we feel safe, when we feel secure, then we can let go.
And we're so, not in our heads, we're in our bodies, feeling all the feels.
Exactly. And so we can really be present. And same thing, what you were witnessing in kink, right? It was sort of like, yeah, she could hear him say whatever it is that he said, but like for her to actually, with every, you know, maybe hit, the ability to sort of let go and trust and know that he was going to do what he said he was going to do, every piece of that impact was a piece of trust that was gaining on her every single time. So that every time that trust came in, a little bit was let out, right? Mm-hmm. That vulnerability, that release, her voice,
right?
Like her all voice. Of these things that get shoved and put down where we're able to be released. And I think we need that in our lives. We need that in our lives. Absolutely. Right.
We do. And for those of you who don't know, this is my second time recording with Marla because tech was teching and I lost it. But in the first recording, you asked me, would I consider being a part of that? And since then, I've had times like really sit with that question. And it doesn't make me as I won't say uncomfortable when you first asked, but I was like, oh, I was not expecting her to ask me that. But when I sit with it, the more work that I've been doing to embody what I'm trying to provide for my clients, I've been able to work through my values, and safety and trust is very high in my value. And it takes nothing for you to show me that you can't do it. And it's like, oh, that's it. Nope. You know, it's more of a guilty until proven innocent when it comes to those values. And so I would definitely, I'm not opposed to it. I think there's still more work I would have to do to not associate that act with something that is negative. Not only not negative, but it doesn't mean anything for me to react to it. Like, it doesn't mean anything about me to scream, to yell. I don't have to try to take more than is necessary. Like, if the shit hurts, it hurts, say done, because that would be me. I'd be like, oh, you're not gonna get me. Like, bring it, keep it coming, which is not the point of it at all. But it shines a light on me and what my clients go through as far as how much we put on our plate and on our shoulders, which is really our own doing. We are in our own ways, even with the crying. I've cried so much this year just because I'm determined to be something different and be something softer and more sensual, to know what it feels like on that side, to know what it feels like to ask for help and to trust. So I had some time to sit with that question. And, you know, by the time we get to September and make my way to Sex Down South, I may be a little, you know, inclined for a little tap, tap. So if this is something that someone wants to explore, if one of, you know, the listeners wants to explore this, what do you feel like are, like, what's the avenue? What's the route? Do they try it at home? Do they need to go to a professional?
Well, doing it yourself and doing, like, first of all, I think starting off with something simple, like basic impact play. So something like spanking, mm-hmm. I think is helpful. And I think, of course, taking a class or seeing a mentor or getting a kink coach or a sex coach or something like that to help you with that, I think is perfectly fine. There's lots of people who have virtual classes on you know, erotic mm-hmm. spanking or whatnot. But trying it on yourself is absolutely going to be different than someone else hitting you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But trying it on yourself first to see what that feeling feels like is important, mm-hmm. right? Do you like stingy? Do you like thuddy? You know, what is it that your body may desire on its skin, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's the first step, is just really doing something simple like spanking, or maybe even trusting in a blindfold. Blindfold is part of like sensory deprivation, which is also very vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, and so like, to me, a blindfold is harder than spanking.
Really?
You know what I mean? You know,
I think for me, blindfold is a little easier because it takes away my, for some reason, when you cover my eyes, I'm not in my head as much. And I can mm-hmm. pay attention because it's like, what is that feeling? What are you doing? What is that? And then I'm like trying to psych myself out. Well, what is that? Is it a piece of ice? No, it's not a piece. What is that smell? And so I'm trying to figure out what's happening, which still in my mind, but I'm paying attention more to what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So it sounds like you're pretty present though. Like you're like, ooh, I'm titillated. What's happening next? As opposed to me, I'd be like, I'm, you know, want control. Right. So I'm like, what you doing? What you doing? What you got? What's happening? I need to see all the things. Right. So like that would feel a little bit more vulnerable to me because I wouldn't be able to see and therefore wouldn't be able to regulate on what you're doing. Right.
Right.
So that for me is a little bit harder, but it's good to know, right? It's good mm-hmm. to know like, okay, well, I know if I do this, I'm a little bit more in my body. So it takes that something like experimenting with different kinds of things. Maybe you like temperature play. So maybe mm-hmm. you do get an ice cube or you play around with warm and hot or wax or something along those lines. But just kind of think of the everyday pleasures that you have in your life, like the everyday things that make you feel good. I think mm-hmm. that could really help you tap into your kink too. You know, so for instance, if you okay, I'll give myself for example. I am not a huge smell person, but I am kind of a smell person, mm-hmm. right? And as much as I love roses and the mm-hmm. smell of roses, I went to Portland and went to their rose, mm-hmm. big rose event that they have, and it was amazing. I smelled each rose. As much as I love roses, I also love armpits and people's armpits.
Really?
Right? So it's like, oh, I enjoy this smell so much. And I'm like, what other smells do I enjoy? Mm-hmm. And I love armpits. I smell all sorts of people's armpits if they'd let me. You know what I mean? So it's sort of like, ooh, do I like that smell? They're like, oh, is it covered by deodorant? Because I really love natural body odors.
Right.
So thinking about the type of kink you might be into, be like, you know what? I could be into some armpit smelling, totally. You know, I'm in it. I love people's natural odor. But just tapping into sort of your everyday pleasures can actually help you think about the taboo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sort of traverse it into that sort of that alternative sexuality lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So So yeah, I think that's just something to think about. Like, if you are an athlete and you love to play and you mm-hmm. love to move your body, maybe you like to wrestle. That's mm-hmm, a huge kink, yeah. right? People love yeah. wrestling, and people add lube wrestling or whatever, mm-hmm. right? Like, wrestling is fun. It gets your heart rate up. It makes you feel competitive. It drives up a lot of those same hormones. So knowing that, like, our everyday pleasures can be translated into kink, I think is a great way to figure out what kinds of things you'd be into.
Mm-hmm. I know that I've had quite a few clients come to me that have dealt with trauma, like they've gone through the therapy and done trauma and all that, and they found themselves in the world of impact play and BDSM. What do you feel like is the connection for that?
Well, I think part of it is it all depends on the trauma too, right? Like right. whatever their trauma is. But a lot of it has to do with being an adult and it being consent based, mm-hmm. right? So that's where a lot of the healing comes from. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, I have a friend and colleague who, was, molested as a child, right? And all that trauma, translated, like how they took control of that trauma was like now in their kink, they do role play and they are still the child in the role play. Mm-hmm. And whoever they do the role play with is the dad. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's deep. It's taboo. Mm-hmm. But it's so healing and cathartic. Part of it is, right, as children, we are sexual beings, but, mm-hmm. and so we are, don't quite understand sort of how the pleasure aspect fits in, especially right. around coercion when it comes to adults. So there's that aspect of healing. The second aspect is the consent piece, right? Mm-hmm. So you're actually like drawing in like, oh, I'm now in a place where I am consenting to this thing that feels good to me. Mm-hmm. And that in and of itself is healing. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, those two pieces together, I think is huge. We, as an adult, we can embrace the erotic of our childhood without feeling guilt or shame or being fucked up about it, mm-hmm. you know? And that's hard for some people. Some people rather just be like, you know, no, I'm not doing kink. I'd rather go to therapy or right, maybe right. I'll do some hypnosis or like, but it's sort of just sort of like whatever is your thing. Mm-hmm. And kink is just an avenue of healing, just like there's all the different ways of healing. There's energetic healing. There's all sorts of, you know, hypnosis, Reiki, therapy, counseling, whatever it is. There's lots of different ways for that healing. And that's just one of the avenues. So that's where I think really the connection lies, is around consent. And then being able to experience the pleasure that may have been traumatizing in the first place.
Right, right. So before we go, I want to ask a question. What do you feel like are your top three toys to use when it comes to impact play?
Oh my gosh, I forgot to unpack them. I was at a kink camp for a week and I taught a few classes.
Kink camp.
I know, right? Outside in the wilderness, girl, that was hard, but but it was fun. It was fun. But you know, usually I have them all on display. But I think one of my favorites is I have a 3-foot paddle, wooden paddle that I got made that says Miss Marla on it. So that's definitely one of my favorites, personal favorites. I think floggers are really great. I have a really nice black and purple leather flogger. It's nice and soft. It feels good to the touch. Mm-hmm. I think floggers are really nice. And honestly, my hands are freaking magical. And I feel like that is probably one of my hands are like my favorite kink object, because I'm able to use them in ways that feel very good to me and usually to whomever I am playing with.
I love it. Yeah, I felt some floggers and I was like, oh, this is heavy, but this is really soft. It just And I really love the smell of leather, like genuine leather. So it's like, oh, this smells really good. I could really get down with this. Mm-hmm. So just to bring it full circle, for anyone that you feel is not exactly where I am, where it's like, okay, I know I need to release, this could be a way for me. But for a Black woman that's like, something has to give, I need some type of release, what are your suggestions or your advice for her?
Well, I think first is finding someone who is on the same page for you. If they want, if you're trying to get into kink or want to, you know, want to explore in kink, finding someone who either can mentor you or finding someone you trust, finding someone that's on the same page. And then talking through it and doing a lot of talking, do a lot of talking, talk about your desires, talk about what holds you back, you know, why you're hesitating, talk about like all the things that, that come up for you. Talk. I also think read, there are lots of really great kink books, not 50 Shades of Grey, but like kink books, like how to do the kinks, right?
Yeah.
Those are really, really helpful. So I think reading, finding people in your communities, going to local places and going to munches. So like, wherever, whatever city you're in or closest, maybe big city, if you're in a rural area, like going to like a munch and get to know people, right? So like in Atlanta, we have a ton of Black groups. So it's sort of like go to Black Atlanta Munch and, you know, talk to people, see, you know, what they do, what they like. You know, usually people, and it's very casual, right? So you're not like dressed up in kink gear or anything. It's casual clothing at a, like a restaurant or something. And it's really an opportunity to get to know people in a casual environment with no pressure. And see like who you can connect with. I think that's super helpful because, you know, we all want to feel like we're part of a community or in a community. And really to, I really say in order to really embrace like this lifestyle. So finding the right friends and community members are going to be key. So there's that. So yes, and then once you, you know, figure that out and find the person that you want to play with, then it's just a matter of the negotiation, making sure you're heard, making sure there's no like red flags happening for you. And then, you know, then proceed to trust, you know,
and have fun, trust your intuition,
trust and have fun. Exactly. Let go. And just be in your body, feel all the feels, let the dopamine and endorphins flow, you know?
Yes, yes. And if you get addicted, don't blame us. Do not blame us. Oh, Marla, thank you so much. Tell the people what you have going on, where they can catch you, where they can vibe with you.
Absolutely. You can find me on my website, velvetlipssexed.com. I have a couple events coming up. So All Femme Everything is happening in July. Dick Fest is also happening at the end of July. And then Sex Down South is happening. That's sexdownsouth.com. That's happening in September. And hopefully I'll have Booty Fest in August. I'm working on that. And what else do I have going on? And soon I'll be launching my membership program. So you, if you get on my email list, be a founding member, that would be awesome. But I will let you know when that launches.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Marla. This was a really good conversation, especially after my experience. And I think the women that listen are going to truly appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. And you can also find me on social media too. I forgot to say at one Marla Stewart or at Velvet Lips Sex Ed. That's sex without the E. So thank you again for having me. And I am so, I'm excited.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Unapologetic Vixen podcast, Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. If you enjoyed this episode, like, leave a comment, and share it with someone you know could use the space. If you're ready to tap into your pleasure, join the Virtual Vixen Suite. It's a safe space for Black women to gain support and empowerment as they access pleasure, intimacy, and satisfying sex every day. And remember, pleasure is your right, boo.